Okay, so today we'll begin part three of Jacob Boehme's first question within 40 questions of the soul. First question, what preceded the soul originally at the beginning of the world? Now keep in mind that a lot of these writings from Jacob Boehme, they do not initially connect and resonate with the rational mind. These deep, deep teachings, inner teachings that are all within us, are universal principles. They are in a they're in a progression of a process of releasing the understanding to our conscious mind. Now we use symbols that we create with our conscious mind, which is why tarot is so powerful, in order to suggest and send, I will say, send down to our subconsciousness in order for there to be a response for an attempt to understanding on a conscious level these teachings, ageless wisdom. Okay. So it's initially not supposed to make sense, but with all the noise that is flashing around on the internet, and especially in the spiritual communities, all that's great. Even when we seek understanding by astronomy, by looking out into the cosmos or the universe, which is a macro representation of what's going on within us, right? We have a beautiful universe, and it's important for us to observe and wonder at the mysteries which are being revealed to us as for when we are ready. But more importantly, I've came to realize that none of this is new and everything is came before. And so push all the noise aside and quiet the mind, and then focus on some of these ancient teachings that are still around for us to take the time and effort to allow that remembrance to come forth. So I said all that, but my point being that the reasonable, the rational mind, that's what I meant to say, the rational mind will question and critic and analyze and try to find immediate understanding, where the subconscious works on a slower pace, a slower response rate than the conscious mind. Because the conscious mind represents the Godhead and the and could be considered spirit, light. We send light into the unknown, into the darkness for a response, which is a lot slower because it can be based off feeling and emotion. Okay. When we have a feeling and emotion from a response of a thought, and especially after we take action and reflect on the feeling we have from taking action or creating karma. Karma is nothing more than energy in motion. Then a lot of the understandings will unfold for themselves as we progress in our spiritual journey. But let's begin reading. Last time we or previously we read about the eternal dark and how we need to understand is we should try to understand in the fire that there are 10 forms, all which are born in the will and all belong properly to the eternal will. Okay? So the eternal will is God's will. Eternal will is the eternal, comes from the eternal liberty. Okay, the eternal liberty could be considered the abyss, the very, very beginning when there was a little bit of movement which created an awakening status where the eternal realized self. And that can be also considered when there's this conscious awareness of self. But the eternal liberty, the one infinite creator, which is all of us within, had the eternal desire, excuse me, the eternal will, which created the harsh desire. That's the word I was looking for, which created the fire. Now, this fire on this esoteric level from the very beginning is not the elemental fire. Our elemental fire is nothing more than an outside appearance for us to attempt to peer through and see the essence of what it truly means. Okay, now fire, with astrology, as we know, it's more of action gets things done. Okay, so even the eternal had a desire which created the fire, and we'll learn about the 10 forms of fire. Okay. So this is a fire from what we could consider darkness, like a dark fire. But even before the concept of dark, there was this fire. All right. The first form. First, there is the eternal liberty, which has the will and is itself the will. Now, every will has a seeking to do or to desire something. And herein it beholds itself and understands in the eternity what itself is. And it makes to itself a glass of its own likeness, for it sees what itself is, and so finding nothing but itself, it desires itself. It looks like I wrote discerns, for it discerns what itself is. It see what itself is. Yeah, so here we have the unity, the everything, the blank canvas, the eternal liberty, the nothingness, and it has a desire. Now, every will has a seeking to do, so a seeking a or longing to do, to create or to desire something. The desire begins with our thoughts, right? And a sort of linked to our feelings, and our feelings and emotions are the fire that conjunct with our thoughts, and then we long to do something, we seek to do something. But primarily here, we could say that the eternal liberty and the one who has a desire to know itself begins to desire something in order for it to try to understand itself. So it makes itself a mirror. So it makes itself a glass or mirror, and then it still finds nothing, just a reflection. Okay. So key zero, the full eternal liberty. We have the eternal who desires itself and creates a mirror. Okay. And then we'll get into how the eternal or the one infinite creator, as Ra has created that label of the eternal, the one infinite creator, the created models, or we could say even images of itself. But where and how does this model work? Okay. So going back to key zero in tarot, the fool actually represents super consciousness. Key one, the magician, represents self-consciousness, the conscious mind. Key two, high priestess, represents subconsciousness. All right. And key three, which the Empress is the same as the High Priestess, but the Bright Mother. So we have the Cold Mother and the Bright Mother. All right. Okay. Now, the second form is the desiring. And yet it have nothing but itself. Thereupon, its desire seeks a model of its own will in itself and makes itself pregnant so that a darkness or overshadowing come to be in the will, which the will would not have, but the desire, we'll stop there. The seeking, but the desire and the seeking. So, key three, the Empress is pregnant, right? But, and the reason we, its desire seeks a model of its own will in itself. So, here we have the eternal creating the model of itself, which created the initially the darkness, so that a darkness or overshadowing come to be in the will. This is hard to visualize, but it's more of the eternal turning in on itself to create. Well, let's look at the next slide. I have an image at the very top. We can see how the darkness is created within the eternal. Now, this image. Okay. This image right here is try to, I'm attempting to help us see how when there's a nothing, but the eternal will turn in on itself, sort of like a black hole, right? To create the attraction, which will, in terms of cause and effect, have a desiring to, let's go back. Let me go back to a previous slide. a desire, its desire seeks a model of its own will in itself and makes itself pregnant so that a darkness or overshadowing come to be in the will. So here we have this movement that is created, all right, to create the attraction in order to make a model. I'll just stop right there, and to let my rational mind then try to take over. And let's keep reading. But the desire, the seeking, causes it, and yet there is nothing that is able to consume or expel the desire. So yeah, there's this hole, this groove, this what Jacob Boehme would call, I mean, let's see, he called it the harshness or hardness, which sort of caves in on itself in order to try to create something to pull in to create that this model, but there's nothing for it to pull in. Again, this is only the second form of the 10 forms of fire. So it's hard for us to conceptualize what this progression will unfold. For that which is before the desire, beyond the seeking, is free and a nothing. And yet it is, yet if it were a thing that could be perceived, it were an essence and must subsist in the essence which brought it forth. But seeing it is without essence, it is the eternity and is good. All right. So the eternal liberty, absolutely nothing. But if it were an essence, if it were a something, then it would be within and part of a something else. Something which this eternal is attempting to create a model of itself, but there is a nothing. Okay, nothing brought it forth. And there's nothing but a wonder of what brought it forth? Okay, so the eternal is attempting to create a model in order to try to understand how there is this awareness of self and doesn't even really barely can conceptualize what self is. There's this misconception that God understands all things and is, but just as we are evolving our consciousness and progressing in an a unfoldment of understanding, so is our one infinite creator, since we are images of God, right? And we are a micro version of in an image form of what there all there is. These are some deep and profound thoughts to contemplate on. It's nothing that is originating from myself or it's all how we explore our inner worlds, our inner planes, and seek these understandings on a conscious level, which we all share as a collective within humanity, whether we're conscious of it or not. Okay. But seeing it is without essence, it is the eternity and is good. So good just means rest, balanced. For it is no source and has also no mutability, but it is a rest and an eternal peace. But seeing that the immense space is bottomless, therein being neither number nor end, and also no beginning, there it is like a glass, and it is all things, and yet as a nothing, it behold itself, and yet find nothing but an A, which is its I. Okay, A, Alpha, first, one, the unity that we can see off to the side in the text, that within the German language, which Jacob Boehme originally wrote or channeled and wrote all this, and this was the translator continued to use Jacob Boehme's German characters with the English language. But also notice how, and this is just sort of a side note, the Hebrew letter ayin means I. Key 15, the devil, which is the effect of appearances within the seven stages of let's see, the principles of consciousness in the seven stages. This is the effect of the first stage. And really the key one, key eight, key 15, that those three, when we think of threes in tarot, this is the first stage of spiritual unfoldment when we use principles of consciousness. It's the first principle, self-conscious, key one. And then the suggestive state from our conscious mind is an impression on our subconscious, which will respond with what our conscious mind has already witnessed and experienced and recorded through experience and emotions to make the impact, will result in key 15, the devil, which is the effect of appearances. So we can see through appearances, or the appearances can be very real. And when it comes to duality, key 15 is represented by bondage or mirth, so fear or laughter. Okay. And key one, when we categorize duality with key one, it would be life or death. So we're either alive in a conscious way or dead. Not physical death, but a lot of us will create the appearance of bondage, which would be more of a death state when we work with consciousness. But when we laugh at the appearances of the craziness that's going on, or laugh at ourselves, then we're actually healing and revealing and becoming more open, and we're more alive. All right, back to button A, which we'll call Alpha. Okay. Which is its I. Now, AV, that is the eternal, original that something is, for it is the eternal beginning and the eternal end. So here we are, the eternal liberty has the concept of the eternal original. That something is. There's a desire that there is a something. But what is it? right? There's this attempt to try to know thyself. Thus, the abyss perceives in itself and finds itself. So that's all that there is the eternal. The alpha is below. Well, let me go back and say it this way. The A is below and the V is above. This is linked to the German language. And the O is A V, the I, and yet is in itself no substance. Okay, so now we have three symbols. And here is an attempt to understand how the eternal is creating this model in order for it to understand itself. Okay. We have the A and the V, which divides itself. The V, as mentioned, is above, the A below. In a sense, we could say that the V is the conscious mind and A is the subconscious mind. A, V. Let me draw it over here. A, V. Because the self-conscious mind is going to impress and send thoughts from the desire, the desire, okay, to the lower plane. I don't like the way I worded this. Again, this is where my rational mind is trying to explain the images. So that's why we have these symbols. So let's just, actually, this is backwards. Hang on. Maybe that's why I'm getting a little confused. Self-conscious would be V, because that would be above. And then the subconscious is A, right? Because that is the very beginning. So it's almost as the movement created the V, which eventually will be, as we move further along, the fire, the light, and the subconscious will be the darkness, or we can symbolize as the darkness. All right. And which is also why key 15, there's a dark background. Okay. But going back to these symbols, let me erase this. We had the V above, but look how the V stretches from the A and creates that line. Now in Kabbalah, we know Chokmah is its symbol assigned to the second Sephiroth is a line. All right, so here we have V, which could be Keter, and then A could be Binah. Chokmah could be right there in the middle as the line. And here we have the eternal attempting or attempting to create this model, which has this O from the line. There's the O with the dot in the center. Now that dot will be is the first light. Let there be light. It's not explained right now, but now there's limits created within the eternal in order for it to create the model, in order for it to see itself and explore itself with wonder. All right. Let's just keep reading. Right. The A is below, the V is above. There is neither below nor above, only its looking glass in the AV is thus a seeing. So we have the eternal, which we could probably perceive this as this gigantic black hole within the center of the universe. Okay, the first, if we go back to this image up here at the top, our mind can conceive this image as the first black hole ever within the cosmos, so that our rational mind can sort of have its aha moment. Okay. But within symbols, we have no above, no below. Okay. Is what Jacob Boehme is relaying. There's only a mirror of the eternal. Okay. So there is no ground in the abyss, so there can be no above, there can be no below, even though we have the causal plane, which as above, so below, and that's because we're images of the eternal, which has the all-seeing eye and is watching itself and learning about itself in order to know itself and to expand consciousness and push limits further and further away. Okay. But whereas there is no ground, therefore its glass is such an eye as this O. For God Himself said in the Revelations, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Consider us according to its precious depth, for we speak not here according to nature in a form, but according to the spirit above nature in the divine character T, which would be divine character of God in German. And also form would be similitude, so an image. The spirit symbol is the eye of God, the eye of eternity. This make and is a glass, and it is a round circle like a globe, not like a ring, for we cannot describe it otherwise. Hereby, we mean the globe of eternity, wherein rest the foundation of heaven and earth, of the elements, and also of the starry sphere. For it is a globe like an eye, and it is the eye of God's wonders, wherein everything was seen from eternity. Yet without essence, as in a glass or eye, for it is the eye of the abyss, concerning which we have no pen, tongue, nor utterance, either to write or speak. Other, only the spirit of eternity lead the eye of the soul thereinto, and so we see it, else it must remain in silence, and this hand cannot describe anything of it. Jacob Boehme is explaining how the eternal is the abyss, but then the eternal has created without essence, is attempting to create essence of itself so that it can see itself. But it has to create these limits within itself, which creates a looking glass, a mirror. That's out of all of that, that's basically a synopsis of how the model of all models is being created, the foundation of heaven and earth, of the elements, and also the starry sphere, right? The wheel, the starry sphere, the wheel, zodiac. The zodiac can be considered the starry sphere. It's reassuring to know that even in Jacob Boehme's writings, he's confessing that no pen, tongue, nor utterance can even write or speak about the eternal. All we can do is go back as far, go deep as, go within as far as we can to the center of who we are and use the eye of eternity, which is within, it's an image, and look outward to pierce through appearances and see truth for, let me back up. I'd rather use the word essence than truth. To see the essence of things and creation. Yeah. Now, seeing that in the eternity there is, it's water. All right. Now, see, oh my goodness. Throat's dry. Now, seeing that in the eternity there is such an I, which is God Himself, and yet is not called God, but eternity. And according to the I, He is called Alpha and Omega. But before the Alpha, there is nothing, and in Omega, there is all. And in the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Okay. So the Eternal created Alpha and Omega. And this is the beginning of the model of the looking glass of the eye of the Eternal so that it can see itself. Right? In the Alpha, there is nothing. And then in the Omega, there's limits that are created. So there's something. There's what we could call time. And time is nothing more than progression. When there's movement, movement creates progression until it re-enters a stillness. We drop a pebble in some water. It ripples out to the walls of the container that hold it within, and eventually the ripples and movement cease to be and return back to its original state. We find that there is a will in the Omega, and the will is the Omega itself, which creates the Alpha. Meaning the eternal beginning of the seeking. Here is the image, the very beginning within the Omega from nothing. So this is when the eternal has created an image and also the initial movement, the seeking. The drawing or the longing or the attracting. So there's where the, well, let's just say the first black hole was created in order to create that attraction, the movement. Okay. But there had to be a stirring. We could visualize the stirring moving our finger through some water to create the movement after the limits were created. I like how Dion Fortune's model, which was channeled very clearly, there is the ring pass knot. There's three rings: the ring pass knot, the ring cosmos, and the ring chaos. The ring cosmos would be positive polarity, and ring chaos would be negative polarity. The ring pass knot would be the limits within Omega. The we could just say the O, right? It's not exactly 360 degrees, or it's more like an oval, like this shape down here. Okay, the alpha, the genesis within the seeking, the model. Okay, this is deep stuff. All right. So that the abyss behold itself and make a form in itself like a globe. For the eye find no bottom. It close itself and become like a round globe of glass. And so it is the similitude of eternity in that it can find itself. All right, made an image of itself. For there is no finding in the abyss, because there is no place or limit, but the mere abyss. And when it does find itself in the eye, yet it find nothing but the eye, which is the globe. Now the eye makes the globe. So before the alpha, there was nothing. Alpha was created, omega. Alpha created omega. I'm just trying to simplify these progressions. And within the omega, alpha was created again as an image. Okay. And the original alpha is sort of on the outside, watching itself through the looking glass. Okay. Now the eye make the globe, and it is the globe, and all put together is a will to seek itself, and so to see what the eternity is, which is made manifest in the eye. So here we have the first time manifest was used. So we have form now beginning to be considered within the eternal. Okay. Now there are parental parts which will fragment and create these images. So if we think about the model used within right use of will, it's the four-part system of God. There's spirit, then there's will. There's spirit, will, heart, and body. So body would be form. Body would be considered a result from being manifested. Okay, there's the father of manifestation. And so the I, spirit, is watching itself in form. Okay. The will to seek itself, and so to see what the eternity is. So here we have a bunch of images in form manifested, which are being watched in order to learn about itself. We have a the eternal is there's this replication that has been created. And yet within that replication, there's this division of infinite amounts of the alpha within the omega in order for the expansion of we'll just say consciousness, self-awareness to have this understanding, to develop this understanding of the original cause or the original awakening. Let's keep reading. For the eye creates a beginning and an end, and because there is nothing that can give it, it gives itself, and it is from eternity to eternity. The eternity itself, it touches nothing, for it is a nothing in itself. All right. Well, in the beginning, within the Omega, it gives itself, it creates the eternity within the Omega and sort of just backs away, doesn't touch anything. There had to be an initial stirring, and so when this movement began, now the eternal eye is watching itself to try to understand. Then if there is, excuse me, then if there be a will, which is the eye, and which keeps the eye, that keeping is the desire of the eye. And so the desire causes an attraction in the eye, yet nothing is there but the eye. And the desire only attracts itself in the eye and impregnate the eye with that which is attracted. So that is become full, and yet also nothing is there but a darkening of the free eye. Yet the eye is not dark. But the desire in the eye is impregnated in itself. For the will of the eye is still, and the desire of the will make itself full, and the eye continue free in itself. For it is free in and from eternity, and this we call the eternal liberty in all our writings. All right. So let's revisit through symbol what's going on here. We have the eternal liberty. Alpha and Omega has been created as a mirror. The eternal liberty created itself within the mirror through desire. Okay, the looking glass. There's now a model, but within this model of the second form of the eternal fire, okay, we're only on the second form of 10 form. There's 10 forms within the eternal fire, and Jacob Boehme is describing the properties of this fire. Which we can call the eternal eye. So there is a desire which is replicated within Omega that causes an attraction in the eye, yet nothing is there but the eye. Okay, so here. The eternal's looking at itself and sees what it experienced already. That's a big misconception that a lot of us don't realize is we are experiencing everything that the eternal has experienced. We are images. We are replicating exactly what has already been experienced. But the eternal God is attempting to try to understand itself more by watching the images created, which are us, and was also labeled as persons in the previous readings before we started to break down the properties of the fire of the eternal. Okay. Now, I'm not going to get into the third form today because I already feel a little overwhelmed. This is deep stuff to not just stuff. This is deep wisdom from within us that we are attempting to surface for our remembrance. But let's look at tarot. So I added key four, the Emperor, which represents Mars energy, the masculine principle. And then we have the Empress, which is also, which represents Venus, the feminine principle. So does key two, but let's just focus on Venus and Mars right now. And with terminology within our science, we have electro and magnetism. So we have electromagnetism. That should satisfy our rational mind a little bit of how light and darkness work together. Now, magnetism is the darkness, and it attracts where electricity or the electro of magnetism is movement and light, which is seeking the is stimulated by the attraction of the magnetism, and that's how we have electromagnetism. It's a very pseudo way of trying to understand light and darkness, which is all and everything. Okay, I'm just gonna stop for today. I'm not gonna say much more. But the symbols themselves and the semantics and the language that is being used here will go deep within our mind. And even though our subconscious mind, it takes some time through deductive reasoning for some of these concepts to surface, eventually it does happen. Okay, I've read this book over the years, going back to probably 2020, 2021, when I first came across Jacob Beaumont's works. I've been persistent, and that allowed me to actually go within the deeper understandings, and even still, it can be very dense, and it but the desire is strong, and that's what the writings of Jacob Beaumont stresses on, is how the eternal had the strong desire to know itself, and so it created the looking glass and the model of itself in Omega. And now we're going to get into the third form of the fire, which would involve key four, the emperor, as a symbol, right? So that will be all for today. And we'll continue on later.